Chapter 27. 4. Being tired from the time passed with hard labor, overworked with anger and ignorant with weariness, while every breath for labor he drew with cries fuller sorrow, the young deer made imperfect who worked hard filtered insight. I see now that I never understood that poem before. I have had glimpses of its meaning, at moments when I was not as ignorant with weariness as usual, but this is the first time the whole spacious idea of it ever filtered in sight. If I were a public school pupil, I would put those other studies aside and stick to analysis. For, after all, it is the thing to spread your mind. We come now to historical matters, historical remains, one might say. As one turns the pages, he is impressed with the depth to which one date has been driven into the American child's head, 1492. The date is there, and it is there to stay. And it is always at hand, always deliverable at a moment's notice. But the fact that belongs with it? That is quite another matter. Only the date itself is familiar and sure. Its vast fact has failed of lodgment. It would appear that, whenever you ask a public-school pupil when a thing anything, no matter what happened, and he is in doubt, he always rips out his 1492. He applies it to everything, from the landing of the ark to the introduction of the horse car. Well, after all, it is our first date, and so it is right enough to honor it, and pay the public schools, to teach our children to honor it. George Washington was born in 1492. Washington wrote the Declaration of Independence in 1492. St. Bartholomew was massacred in 1492. The Britons were the Saxons who entered England in 1492 under Julius Caesar. The earth is 1492 miles in circumference. To proceed with history, Christopher Columbus was called the father of his country. Queen Isabella of Spain sold her watch and chain and other millinery, so that Columbus could discover America. The Indian wars were very desecrating to the country. The Indians pursued their warfare by hiding in the bushes, and then scalping them. Captain John Smith has been styled the father of his country. His life was saved by his daughter Pocahontas. The Puritans found an insane asylum in the wilds of America. The Stamp Act was to make everybody stamp all materials, so they should be null and void. Washington died in Spain almost broken-hearted. His remains were taken to the cathedral in Havana. Guerrilla warfare was where men rode on guerrillas. John Brown was a very good insane man who tried to get fugitive slaves into Virginia. He captured all the inhabitants, but was finally conquered and condemned to his death. The Confederacy was formed by the fugitive slaves. Alfred the Great reigned 872 years. He was distinguished for letting some buckwheat cakes burn, and the lady scolded him. Henry VIII was famous for being a great widower, having lost several wives. Lady Jane Grey studied Greek and Latin, and was beheaded after a few days. John Bright is noted for an incurable disease. Lord James Gordon Bennett instigated the Gordon Riots. The Middle Ages come in between antiquity and posterity. Luther introduced Christianity into England a good many thousand years ago. His birthday was November 1883. He was once a pope. He lived at the time of the Rebellion of Worms. Julius Caesar is noted for his famous telegram dispatch, "I came, I saw, I conquered." Julius Caesar was really a very great man. He was a very great soldier, and wrote a book for beginners in the Latin. Cleopatra was caused by the death of an asp which he dissolved in a wine cup. The only form of government in Greece was a limited monkey. The Persian War lasted about 500 years. Greece had only 7 wise men. Socrates. Destroyed some statues, and had to drink shamrock. Here is a fact correctly stated, and yet it is phrased with such ingenious infelicity that it can be depended upon to convey misinformation every time it is uncarefully unread. By the Salic law, no woman or descendant of a woman could occupy the throne. to show how far a child can travel in history with judicious and diligent boosting in the public school, we select the following mosaic. Abraham Lincoln was born in Wales in 1599. In the chapter headed Intellectual, I find a great number of most interesting statements. A sample or two may be found not amiss. Bracebridge Hall was written by Henry Irving. Showbound was written by Peter Cooper. The House of the Seven Gables was written by Lord Bryant. Edgar A. Poe was a very curdling writer. Cotton Mather was a writer who invented the cotton gin and wrote histories. Beowulf wrote the scriptures. Ben Jonson survived Shakespeare in some respects. In the Canterbury Tale, it gives account of King Alfred on his way to the shrine of Thomas Bucket. Chaucer was the father of English pottery. Chaucer was a bland verse writer of the 3rd century. Chaucer was succeeded by H. Watts. Longfellow, an American writer. His writings were chiefly prose and nearly 100 years elapsed. Shakespeare translated the scriptures, and it was called St. James, because he did it. In the middle of the chapter I find many pages of information concerning Shakespeare's plays, Milton's works, and those of Bacon, Addison, Samuel Johnson, Fielding, Richardson, Sterne, Smollett, Defoe, Locke, Pope, Swift, Goldsmith, Burns, Cowper, Wordsworth, Gibbon, Byron, Coleridge, Hood, Scott, Macaulay, George Eliot, Dickens, Bulwer, Thackeray, Browning, Mrs. Browning, Tennyson, and Disraeli. A fact which shows that into the restricted stomach of the public school pupil is shoveled every year the blood, bone, and viscera of a gigantic literature, and the same is there digested and disposed of in a most successful and characteristic and gratifying public school way. I have space for but a trifling few of the results. Lord Byron was the son of an heiress and a drunken man. W.M. Wordsworth wrote The Barefoot Boy and Imitations on Immortality. Gibbon wrote a history of his travels in Italy. This was original. George Eliot left a wife and children who mourned greatly for his genius. George Eliot, Miss Mary Evans, Mrs. Cross, Mrs. Lewis was the greatest female poet, unless George Sand's is made an exception of. Bulwell is considered a good writer. Sir Walter Scott, Charles Bronte, Alfred the Great, and Johnson were the first great novelists. Thomas Babington Macaulay graduated at Harvard, and then studied law. He was raised to the peerage as Baron in 1557, and died in 1776. Here are two or three miscellaneous facts that may be of value, if taken in moderation. Homer's writings are Homer's essays. Virgil, the Aeneid, and Paradise Lost. Some people say that these poems were not written by Homer, but by another man of the same name. A sort of sadness kind of shown in Bryant's poems. Holmes is a very profligate and amusing writer. When the public school pupil wrestles with the political features of the great republic, they throw him sometimes. A bill becomes a law when the president vetoes it. The three departments of the government is the president rules the world, the governor rules the state, the mayor rules the city. The first conscientious Congress met in Philadelphia. The Constitution of the United States was established to ensure domestic hostility. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. As follows. The Constitution of the United States is that part of the book at the end which nobody reads. And here she rises once more and untimely. There should be a limit to public school instruction. It cannot be wise or well to let the young find out everything. Congress is divided into civilized, half-civilized, and savage. Here are some results of study in music and oratory. An interval in music is the distance on the keyboard from one piano to the next. A rest means you are not to sing it. Emphasis is putting more distress on one word than another. The chapter on physiology contains much that ought not to be lost to science. Physiology is to study about your bones, stomach, and vertebrae. Occupations which are injurious to health are carbolic acid gas, which is impure blood. We have an upper and lower skin. The lower skin moves all the time, and the upper skin moves when we do. The body is mostly composed of water, and about one half is avaricious tissue. The stomach is a small pear-shaped bone situated in the body. The gastric juice keeps the bones from creaking. The chyle flows up the middle of the backbone and reaches the heart, where it meets the oxygen and is purified. The salivary glands are used to salivate the body. In the stomach, starch is changed to cane sugar and cane sugar to sugar cane. The olfactory nerve enters the cavity of the orbit and is developed into the special sense of hearing. The growth of a tooth begins in the back of the mouth and extends to the stomach. If we were on a railroad track and a train was coming, the train would deafen our ears so that we couldn't see to get off the track. If, up to this point, none of my quotations have added flavor to the Jensonian anecdote at the head of this article, let us make another attempt. The theory that intuitive truths are discovered by the light of nature originated from St. John's interpretation of a passage in the Gospel of Plato. The weight of the earth is found by comparing a mass of known lead with that of a mass of unknown lead. To find the weight of the earth, take the length of a degree on a meridian, and multiply by 612 pounds. The spheres are to each other as the squares of their Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.